Hey, it's great to share with you today. I hope you're alive and you're open, your hearts are open. How many of you are ready to receive the word today? Amen? Amen. I love second service. I feel like I'm at a rock concert on a second service. I'm not kidding you. I love it. Well, we're going to talk about mud today. How many of you love mud? No one loves mud, but by the end of service, you're going to love it. You're going to say, man, I love mud. So I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to tell him, what up, mud? Now, some people are in rebellion. It's not good to do that on Sunday morning. So I want you to do it for real. Those of you that didn't do it, I want you to look at the neighbor and say, what up, mud? All right. Anybody that didn't do it, I hope you have fleas in your... All right. Hey, so this message came to me pretty much from my own life. And by the end of this, I am going to have to ask my wife for forgiveness. She's going to want to kill me. But this came from my own life. So my wife, during the week, is, you know, doing stuff and driving her car a lot. So I get into the car at the end of the week. Sometimes we go someplace as a family, and my wife, we jump into her car. And so what we end up doing is all piling in, and what ends up happening is I get in there, and you ladies, you ever do your makeup in the car? Yeah, I do my makeup in the car. All the husbands are like, yeah. So my wife's got this mascara stuff on the visor because she's going like this, and her hand doesn't know when to stop. So there's mascara on the visor. There's makeup on the seats. And in the back seat, there's mud everywhere. There's mud from my kids and their cleats and grass and everything. There's mud on the backs of the seats. And there's mud on the bottom of the seats. There's mud on the floor. There's mud on the sides of the doors. There is just mud everywhere in my car. And I always tell her, I said, honey, I love you. I want you to drive a nice car. But man, if you don't take care of it, I'm going to take it away, and I'm going to get you something that's bad, and I'm the man of the house, and, you know. Thanks for laughing. I mean, really. So I'm like, bless God, I'm the man. And all of a sudden, she just looks at me, she says, you knock it off. So one day, I'm fussing like I normally do, and I looked at her, and I said, baby, I'm sorry, I'm fine. And it hit me. And you know how the Lord, he'll take you down this road, and he'll teach you a lesson with life. And then if you don't learn the lesson, he'll teach it better to you. So that's kind of what happened to me. So he taught it better to me. So I want you to look at a little-known scripture in the Bible. It's Proverbs 32:12. Blessed is the man whose car is clean, for it's a sign of a well-ordered life and well-behaved kids. The first service was like, oh my gosh, that's not in the Bible. Thank you. It's a joke. I'm glad you laughed. God bless all of you. Oh my goodness. You guys really like that. So in my life, when my car is dirty, I'm like, oh my gosh, I run a dealership. My dealership's going to fall apart. I can't even keep my car clean. My kids are going to grow up, and they're going to be terrible people. They ain't going to be able to clean their house. Nobody's ever going to marry them. And I just go down this long, dark, bad road. My wife's probably going to leave me because I can't manage to keep her car clean. The church, you know, I'm going to be banned from the church because I'm going to drive in the driveway. And so I carry this over to my whole life. And then, like I said, I feel like I got slapped around by God and said, hey, you're not a bad parent. You're not a bad husband. Your wife's out there busting her butt to get your kids to baseball practice. And we bought that bucket of balls, and I'm hitting them with the kids in the backyard. And they're getting in there. They love it. And they're loving life. And they're going to dance. And she's doing her makeup because she's picking up the kids from baseball, and then you want to go on a date with her. So knock it off. Knock your stuff off. What's wrong with you? It's good. I got to love the mud. So I got to look at this mud and say, what up, mud? I mean, love that mud. Think about it. So I need to be okay with the mud. I want you to look at Genesis 2:7. And the Lord formed man of the dust. Uh-oh. That means you're mud. And he breathed in the nostrils from his breath of life, and man became a living being. So we're made from mud. We are mud, right? And it's interesting that you took the words out of my mouth. She goes, interesting. It's interesting that I hate the mud in my car, And it's very similar to how things are in my life sometimes when somebody screws up around me. And I don't like that either. And all of a sudden, I start not to like that person or what they're doing or what's going on. But I gotta love the mud. I gotta love it. I gotta say, what up, mud? When somebody's screwing up in their life and something's going on, they're made from the dust of the earth, but I'm surprised. And so I gotta say, what up, mud? What's going on? I gotta be okay with it. And it's crazy. Oh, we're gonna go there, so don't worry. It's gonna get real, real in a minute. So I looked up some mud, some dirt in the Bible. The meaning, we got three things I'm gonna talk about. The first one is the meaning of the mud. We misunderstand the meaning of the mud. The masses in our lives we misunderstand all the time. Proverbs 14:4, where there is no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Now, don't just read the Bible. Put yourself in it. Now, if I got oxen, and I'm going to have some stuff in the manger, some stuff. Got it? But if the manger is clean, I don't eat. I don't got anything. So it's just like our life and everyday life. If I'm not surrounding myself with people and I don't have any friends and I don't have nothing going on and nothing's happening in my life, I don't got no stuff. But for me to have a ministry, for me to have a family, for me to love my kids and love my wife, and try to work through things at work and work through things in my marriage and work through things in everyday life, my dad and I. But yeah, we don't get along all the time. I got to work through that sometimes. And that's hard. That's what life's about. It's muddy. It's nasty. Sometimes it gets downright hard. And we don't remember that without the oxen, we can't have a ministry. We can't have a family. We can't have love and hope and peace in our lives, and all the things that come from our life, the good things. So we're just going to, what are we going to do, live in a little box? We can't do that. We got to deal with some stuff. I know what you were thinking. Everyone wants the power that the oxen produces, but nobody wants to shovel the stuff. The other day, I needed some help with my PowerPoint, and Erin's like the guru of PowerPoints. If you need one done at work, just call her. She'll help you out. No big deal. She does it on the side. Kidding. So I call her, and I left her a message. She calls me back like 30 minutes later. I'm like, hey, I'm speaking Sunday. I need your help. You know, you got to call me back. I spent 30 minutes. I'm busy. So she's like, yeah, you know what I was doing? I was cleaning up a bunch of poop. I go, you were? She goes, yeah, Addison pooed. She put her hand down the back of her pants. She pulled it out, and she's like, I pooed. You know, she had poo everywhere, apparently. So I was like, man, that's rough. I said, man, she's so cute and beautiful and all that other stuff. All I can think of is her running around the church and, you know, me tickling her a little bit and how cute she is. And Aaron's like, hey, you know, I'm sure Aaron's thinking to herself, yeah, I'm sure she is cute. And then I had 30 minutes of poo to clean up. But man, think about it. Isn't that what life is? The thing that you get the most enjoyment out of sometimes is the thing that can make the biggest mess. In our families, in our children, if I fight with my wife, whew, there ain't nothing that just burns me more than when I fight with her. But she can say something, it can just flip me out more than anybody. So I got to deal with that mess, that mud, that stuff. If no mess, I don't have kids. If I don't have a mess in my garage or a mess around the house, I don't have kids. If I don't have a mess, I'm not around you. There's no ministry here. The reason the church was started, this church was born out of messy people. Yeah, you're not that good. It's okay. We're all a mess. We're created from dirt. We're muddy. Guess what? On your way to church, how many times you turn around? I'm going to pull this car over and I'm going to beat you. I've done it to my kids. We are messy, messy people. All the kids are clapping. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Guess what? We're not perfect. But guess what? That's okay. We need to know it. One of the greatest times that I think has impacted me, some of the greatest times, have never been in church. They've been where I've been in a really, really messy situation. really messy. I remember get a call from a friend of mine, and just this one story. A friend of mine calls me. I'm worked all day. I'm tired. I get up really early, go to the gym. I get to work early. I don't get done sometimes till later at night. It's 8:30. He calls me. He says, "Hey, can you come and pray for my dad? He's in the hospital. It don't look good. He's it ain't gonna be much longer." I called Manny. I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna go over there and pray." And I called my dad. I said, "Dad, I don't feel like doing this. I'm not the pastor. I'm not a pastor." I said, "Why do I got to do this? I can't believe it. Don't judge. When you get there, you'll know what I'm saying. If you haven't been there yet, you'll get there." So I'm just carrying on. He says, "Get over there. You go pray. You do what you do." It moved on my heart so much that we had better church in that hospital room for about 15 minutes than I could. I don't know if I could ever have it here. It touched my heart. An hour later, he went home to be with the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it impacted my life so great. But man, was it messy. My friend's putting his arms around me, and he's crying. He's got boogers everywhere. And I'm crying. I got boogers everywhere. And we're crying all over each other. And we're a mess. We are a mess. But we did life that day together. And that's why we're all here. We got to love the mud. And you know, we got to stop beating ourselves up about stuff. You got to stop beating each other up about it. I got to stop beating you up. You got to stop beating each other up. And we all got to stop beating each other up. Period. Because guess what? We're all muddy. I go to my mom's house. This was a little while ago. Her kitchen, bomb shelter. Just shot. But guess what? She said to me, "I'm sorry, you got to help clean up a mess." There was tons of people there. There was dishes and pots and pans everywhere. And I'm up there washing. Because you want to know why I don't mind washing the dishes at my mom's house when there's people over? You want to know why? I've noticed a correlation between her dirty kitchen and being a hot mess when she gets done cooking and the food that she makes. I don't eat there a lot, but I love it. I said, Mom, that's okay. You can mess that kitchen up. Mess it up real bad. Because guess what? I know what's coming. If that kitchen's a mess, I know what's coming. Think about that for your life. I'll let you think about that for 2 seconds. No mess. No kids. No mess. No ministry. No mess. No family. No mess. You ain't doing nothing. Come on. Moms. Having a baby, I'm a mess. You're allowed to be a mess. You're giving birth to a baby. It's a miracle. Yeah, clap for the moms. Go ahead. You're allowed to be a mess. Yeah, you're not going to fit in that old pair of pants. Guess what? You got a baby. That's all right. I'm a mess. I want something to eat. Go ahead. You eat whatever you want. Jen, I love you. You're pregnant. You're going to be a mess, and we all love it. And anybody says any different, tell them to come and talk to Ryan. Sorry. It's all right to be a mess. We're going to be messy. That's how miracles happen. That's how amazing things happen. Second thing, there's meaning. Second thing, there's mercy in the mud. Scandalous story. Ready for this? We're going to make it real right now. John 8:1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Pharisees brought this woman in, taken in adultery. They said unto him, "Master, the woman's taken the very act. Now Moses, the law, commanded us we should be stoning her." What do you say? They said this, and they're accusing. They're not accusing her, right? They're accusing him. They're trying to set him up, right? Jesus stooped down. Man, what a beautiful picture. Here's this woman. I'm sure they threw her down on the ground. He stooped down, and he looked at her, and he started writing on the ground. Now, there's the amazing part is he met her where she was. I mean, make the Bible come alive. Think about it. Don't just read the Bible. Make it come alive. He stooped down where she was. Some of you today are feeling real low. You're feeling low in your life and your marriage and different parts of things that are going on. But guess what? He's right down there with you. Maybe you feel like you're on the ground right now, but he's down there with you. And we're just dust. And Jesus is different. He's not just dust. He's Jesus. So the scholars have debated what's going on, what he's writing. First one was doodling. That's the first one. The second one was, that was funny. The second one was Bible verse. He was writing Bible verses. He is Jesus. He can write some Bible verses down. Now the third one is amazing to me. This is the one that I believe in. That he started writing the names of the people. So he's down there writing the names of his people, and he's writing their sins right next to him. He's writing, Mary Jane, last Tuesday, lost. All of a sudden, Mary Jane Bolton, she's gone. John Doe, I was going to use real names, but I can't do it. John Doe, 1996, prom night, El Camino. Oh, it's all right. Don't get all quiet on me. This is getting real. You all know you sin. All of a sudden, people start leaving. And you know what the funny part is? The Bible says, when he stooped down and he started writing, go to the next one. He continued that. He lifted himself up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. What do you think she was thinking? Man, Jesus is without sin. Maybe he's going to cast the first stone. That's what I would think. Put yourself in the Bible. Don't just read it. But he says, and again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And when he heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest. How many older people here know why the older people left first? Their list was probably the longest. You ain't got to agree with me. That's the truth. The longer you live, the more sin that's going to happen in your life. We're gonna try our best not to, but guess what? We all struggle. We've all fallen short. You didn't have to amen me. It's the truth. We all have. This is a beautiful picture of the gospel in this story. And Jesus lifted himself up. He saw no one but the woman. And he said to her, woman, where are thine accusers? No man has condemned thee. No man. And Jesus later said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He had the whole list on her. He had the whole list on all of them. But you know what he did? He just erased it all. Amen. He got rid of it all. And that's what he does in our lives. He gets rid of it all. The only one who could have thrown the stone didn't. Jesus had all the dirt, and he wiped the slate clean. He could have said anything to any one of them that day, and he wiped the slate clean. And he does the same thing for you and I. He wipes the slate clean for our marriages, our jobs, our children, our struggle, anything that we need him to, he wipes that slate clean. And we forget that in everyday life because we're going through mud and it's so stinking hard. We're grinding and we forget that God knows we're created out of dust. He knows that we're created out of dust. He doesn't expect any more than what we can give him because he knows we're all sinners and he knows we're created out of dust. But there's mercy in that mud. He gives us mercy. And I think there's so many people here that need to hear that today, that are here, that need to hear that today. You're not done. You're not out. You didn't make a decision that's that bad. Girls, you're not over. Your life's not over. One bad decision doesn't lead to the next one. There's nobody that has fallen so far away that he doesn't love you. Not one. And so many people, they get beat up and they beat themselves up. And the devil wants to pick those stones up and just throw them at you. But he says, no, that's it. We're not doing that. Because he's come to give us what? Mercy, grace, peace, love, joy. He's above and not beneath. He's the head and not the tail. The battle's already been won. It's over, baby. We don't have to fight with the devil anymore. We just got to remind him that the stones aren't his to throw. It's over. It's done. You do not have to beat yourself up, and you don't have to consider what other people are saying about you as long as you add Jesus to the mix. If you got him by your side, baby, you are good. Amen. It's just like when the prodigal son came home. His father met him at the road. He puts his arms around him, and he said, hey, son, let's go get some burgers. We're going to get the best burgers we got. I'm going to get you some new clothes, and we're back at it. I believe that's so important for people to remember. So guess what? You're going to make a mistake. If you haven't done one lately, you're probably going to do one. And you know the other funny thing I think about? You might, and I want you to have an open mind about this. You might be able to judge somebody, but maybe you have had the same thoughts that they just acted on, but you just didn't have the opportunity to do because you weren't put in the right position or the right place to make the same mistake, but you got to learn from it from somebody else that had it happen to them, but now you're judging them and pointing a finger. I know that's too real for you to amen me, but I love you anyways. The third thing, there's a miracle in the mud. We were at John 8. Let's go to John 9. It's real close for you, so you don't have to flip around. John 9:1. It's Jesus walking along. He saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why is this man born blind? Was it because of his sins? Jesus answered, this happened. This happened. He didn't give some big speech about it. He said, this happened. So the power of God could be seen in him. We could carry out our tasks, and then the night is coming. Verse 5, but while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then this poor blind man is on the ground. And can you imagine the tough break that he had in life? He's on the ground, and Jesus already healed Bartimaeus, and it was just like magical, right? And I can't imagine, I think of the Bible coming alive, I think of maybe the guys around him said, hey, Jesus, the following's getting a little slim. Why don't you spice things up a little bit? You can't just feed 5,000 anymore or anything like that. Why don't you spit? I don't know, maybe. Maybe that's what happened. But Jesus did this. This is the next thing the guy heard. Remember, he's blind. So he hears this. And he makes mud with it. And I'm sure everybody was waiting. The blind man was waiting for some angels. Or like the... Or some like magical, like mystical, like Jesus, cool thing to be done. But no, this is what he hears. Trying to make the Bible come alive. Don't judge. That's what happened. Why the mud? Why the mud? I think there's a symbol here. Anytime you look at the Bible, our dirt represents our humanity. It's what we are. It's what we try to cover up. And there's mercy in it. There's mercy in the mud. You look at mud. I mean, it's pretty bad, right? And ladies, you put on makeup, and we put on makeup. We put on clothes. You know, I said a long time ago, I don't want to have to dress up in a 3-piece suit to go to church on Sunday. My dad and I used to have conversations about it. Well, why? I said, because I think it's all fake. It's probably like sinners just trying to look good, you know? I don't want to do that. I just don't. Don't judge. But how many of you know this mud, this is like our life, right? How many of us try to cover up sins and cover up, you know, what we've been through and scars that we wear? And it's mud. It's who we are. There's nothing we can do about it. Marriages, our kids, our families, so many things that we try to cover up in life. But we're just mud. You're just mud. It's okay that you're just mud. And then we have the water over here, which is like divinity. Like anytime water is in the Bible, so you got mud. This is our weakness, our sins, our struggles. And then you have divinity. It's water, right? It's pure. It's white. It's clean. And so many things in our life go wrong, and there's it's muddy. It's nasty, right? I mean, you don't have to agree with me. I know. I live it every single day. What the people that speak up here are absolutely no different than you. We struggle bad sometimes. But you know what I've learned? In life, sometimes you just got to add water. And all of a sudden, you can produce something great. In life, when you add him to any situation, all of a sudden, something can grow. Something can produce. Something can happen good. And all of a sudden, you start seeing differences happening. It's a little messy. That's all right. It's messy when things happen, isn't it? When you got to straighten back out. When something happens. When life hits you really hard and you just got to face it. It's messy sometimes, isn't it? But guess what? The only way something can grow is maybe sometimes in a little mess. So you're just growing. You're just getting ready to grow. You're just getting ready to turn the corner. And how many of you know sometimes you get a little dirty? But guess what? We just got to dip it into Him a little bit, add Him to it, and all of a sudden we're clean. Amen? Amen. 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 What the devil means for evil, he'll always turn into good. Amen? I need you to believe that. I want to pray with you. I want you to bow your heads. Close your eyes. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here today. I thank you that we're going to add you to every situation in our life. But Lord, we know that we're made from the mud. We know that we're dust of the earth. And we know that you still love us. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here today. I pray for them right where they're sitting, Lord. I pray that you'll touch every situation that they're going through, everything that's affecting them, everything that they're struggling with, their marriages, their children, their families, their jobs, their finances. Lord, housing situations that seem insurmountable. Lord, that you'll address them and keep them and give them peace in those situations. Lord, I thank you for every person here. I'm going to ask really quick that you bow your head and close your eyes. But I'm going to ask really quick. And I'm not going to ask you to move. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. I want you to raise your hand if you've never accepted the Lord into your life. And you want today, you want to add the Lord into your life just like I did that water. It's that easy. All right, you can put your hands down. I want you to, after we're done with service, I want you to come up. I'm going to pray with you. But I want to ask a second group of people. Some of you have been struggling with some things in your life, and I want you to, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to ask you to move, but I really want you to ask the Lord right now to help you. I want you to add Him to the situation you're dealing with. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat or raise your hand, but I really want you to close your eyes. I want you to pray. Some of you haven't prayed about that situation. Some of you haven't reached out to Him. Some of you haven't been on your knees. Some of you haven't addressed it with the Creator and the Master of the universe. And I want you to ask Him right now to help you with that situation. Lord, we come to you. You hear every one of these prayers. You hear them. As they're silent or as they're speaking them right now, you hear their prayers. I come in agreement with them. And all of us joined together, we come into agreement with them. We know the situations. Lord, you know them. You know the hairs on our head. You know what we're going through. We are but dust. We are just dust of the earth. We are mud. So Lord, I pray that you will address these situations. You will let us know that you are with us and that you're for us and that you're in our hearts. But Lord, more so, I pray that these situations will be addressed this week. I pray that you'll show yourself and manifest yourself in these. And everyone in this room said, amen. 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 God bless you today. I want you to come down if you need prayer. But God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Goodbye.